Okay, we're on lesson four. I believe, unless the Lord changes this, we'll probably finish up this month, towards the end of the month, of some of the last few verses. And also, I had talked to Polly and just pray about this, that hopefully getting through those last couple of verses, if the Lord should tarry the next time, afterwards, maybe we can just kind of open it up, and if you have any questions or any comments or any testimony or whatever, we can fill up the rest of that time. So, but today we're going to get started on verse 23, and I'd like to read till the end of the chapter. That's Proverbs 31:23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The virtuous woman is a woman that has allowed the Lord, Christ in her, to work out of her. And these qualities that we see are the workings of the Holy Spirit, as she has yielded to him and let him work in and through her. These qualities come out, and it's all because of him. It's all his life in her. And we praise him for that, because it's not by our works. It's not by look at me. It's look at him. Look at him in me. And he brings these forth. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not by our might. It's not by anything that we will try to determine to do. It's going to be his life in us as we yield to it, as we give over to it. You know, it's complete. It needs to just grow up. And she is a woman that has allowed the Word of God to work effectually in her, that she may grow up well-pleasing to him and prepared to be that bride that he so longed for. It was that joy, this virtuous woman, this full overcomer that he so desired. That joy was set before him. And that is who she is. And it's a wonder when you stop and think how the Lord has called each one of us here today to potentially be the bride of Jesus Christ. My mind can't wrap around it. But that's his abundant grace. That's that grace that is exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. And we, as the people of God, have been called. We've been called and espoused to be his wife. So I'm so thankful for all of his workings in each life. And I'm so glad that he is the one that worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 31:23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Her husband is Jesus Christ, and he's well known. Jesus Christ is well known by saint as well as sinners, the whole world. The virtuous woman and those of like precious faith, they've heard and they love the name of Jesus. And they take every opportunity that the Lord brings their way. This virtuous woman takes that opportunity and proclaims to all who this Lord Jesus Christ is. It is Him speaking through her. The Holy Spirit, He is wonderfully doing a marvelous work, and He compels her, and He motivates her, and He pours that anointing on her to speak forth His name. People will say, I don't know, I've not heard. But you know what? The scriptures say otherwise. Paul said in Romans 1:8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. Her faith is spoken by many, be it even in silence, even if she doesn't speak a word. People notice that testimony, and that testimony is spoken. And also in Colossians 1, it says His word has come into all the world. And Romans 10:18 says, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went unto all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. The Lord would have all men to be saved, for Jesus became the author of salvation. In Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. People are without excuse. And they will be without excuse when they meet Him. They won't be able to say, I didn't hear. Because His word declares that it has went out through all the world. The virtuous woman shouts this aloud to all that comes her way. He is highly exalted. She says, He's the Son of God. He's the Word. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the light of the world. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Lord of glory. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega and the beginning and the end. And He's our soon coming bridegroom. Oh, praise the Lord. She continually speaks of Him with great delight, with great boldness. When the daughters of Jerusalem said, why is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? Oh, she says, he's the fairest among 10,000s. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he's altogether lovely. He's shown me the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of His love. His love that passes all understanding. She boasts in Him and Him alone, and is ready to give an answer to everyone that asks her. He's well known. He's known in the gates. And this word gates means an opening, a door, a city, a royal castle, a palace, heaven. It's precious to see the meaning of some of these words. Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of His Father in heaven. Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Yes, He's well known. Such glory and rejoicing in heaven today, but there will be a time when He calls her home. Amen. He calls her, and she will be with Him. And imagine the rejoicing and praising like the sound of many waters. All are invited to enter in through the door or the gate, but not all will enter. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He also said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. There's no other way. He is the way. He is the truth. He's the door. He's the gate. He is known by all those that believe. In Psalms 118:19-20, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them. I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. He sitteth among the elders of the land. Sitteth speaks of his abode, his dwelling. And listen to this. This sitteth means to settle, to marry. He's a ready husband waiting for this ready bride. Among the elders of the land, these are the Old Testament overcomers, the worthies of faith, the great cloud of witnesses. Jesus sits at the right hand of his Father as a ready husband, anticipating and longing to take his bride, and he's waiting anxiously for his Father to say, "It's time, son. Go get this virtuous woman, your bride whom you love and desire. She hath made herself ready and is waiting for you. She's been longing for you with great expectation, with great anticipation to be in your arms." What a day that will be, a day of all days, face to face. What will it be, that song says, when in rapture she beholds him? Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:14. Starting in verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Praise the Lord. A day is soon approaching. Let's go to verse 24. In verse 24, "She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant." This is the virtuous woman, his bride, that's arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And you'll see that in Revelation 19:7. And of course, we talked about this fine linen, that it was the righteous acts of the saints, which the Holy Spirit alone has wrought in and through her. God's very righteousness that's in her and working through her are these righteous acts. She has a willing heart filled with love for him that submits to his leading and his directing of her steps. She readily hearkens only to his voice and inclines her ear to his word and allows that to work effectually in her. All these practical righteous acts are displayed throughout her lifetime. Whether she was to stand or to be still or to do something that he ordered her steps to do, whatever he had for her to do, he supplied the abundant grace for it. He is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Paul said, By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." She's a fellow laborer. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Throughout her days, he and he alone has appointed good works for her to walk in. This virtuous woman is a most fruitful woman. she has allowed. Again, it's the Holy Spirit. It's by His Spirit, not by us, not of anything that we can do. Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Then the next part of this says, she maketh fine linen and she selleth it. I kind of had a question about that, but the Lord sure opened that one up for me. This word sell, selleth, means to sell, to surrender, to sell away self. Her life is completely dedicated and surrendered to Jesus. She's espoused to Him, and others know it as they see her life. That is, she sells it, as it were, to others as she displays Christ. It's her magnifying Christ and His righteousness. It's her testimony that is seen by others, His life, an epistle known and read by many. She has a testimony that only magnifies Him, and others see it, and others speak about it. Others take notice that there's something glorious within her. The way she talks, her behavior, even her quietness, even not even speaking a word, her life manifests the glory and the brightness of the Lord. His glory can't be hidden. It shines in a dark and perverse world, in an evil world. When she wholeheartedly describes her beloved Lord and tells what He is to her, others are attracted to Him and will seek after Him. Others want this love, this peace, this love that consumes her, this confidence that she has, the strength, the faith. In 1 Timothy 4:12 through 16, be thou an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. How different is this virtuous woman to others. She excels above others. She's full of the love of Jesus. Immediately by her speech, there comes a lifting up of others. She edifies as she speaks of Christ. It edifies others that hear her. There's a refreshing. There's a joy. There's a delight. It's so precious how this virtuous woman can enter into a fellowship and they only see Christ. Only Christ. But oh, how it refreshes so many that hear. She desires so much for others to know Him, to grow in grace and knowledge of her Lord. Her life becometh the gospel. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This verse that I'm going to read is in Malachi 3. 16 through 17, and if you return to there, it's precious because our conversations speak and the Lord hears. That's Malachi. It's the very last Old Testament book. Then they that feared the Lord, that's verse 16, spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and He heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord. and that thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. And I'll stop at that. The Lord has worked in her a great desire to win others. She's a witness. She is a bold witness. In 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23, as Paul, she says, though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant to all, that I might gain the more. To the weak, I might gain the weak. I become weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some, and this I do for the gospel's sake. She's not afraid and she's not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Freely she has received from him, and freely she gives. She delivereth girdles to the merchant, is the last part of this verse. The girdle speaks, of course, of the truth, as we said last time in verse 17. She delivers the girdle of truth to others. She has the girdle of truth on at all times. She speaks the truth to others. This word delivereth means to give, to bestow, to deliver, to distribute, to pour out, to render, to send out. Yes, she gives, she bestows, she brings forth, and distributes God's precious truth. She is ready at all times, as she's filled with the Holy Spirit, to speak the truth in love to all that he brings her way. She knows that his word of truth are most valuable for all that receive. She knows she is in a time when people will not endure sound doctrine, but that which tickles their ears. 2 Timothy 4:2 through 5. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and we are in that time, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Her heart is very burdened at times as she sees God's precious people being robbed, not being fed the truth to grow and mature into the fullness of the stature of the Lord. They're starving for the pure milk of the word. There's no spiritual development, no spiritual nourishment. When the precious word has been corrupted by leaven, people can't grow. If it's not rightly divided by the word of truth, it's not going to be profitable. She is burdened and she prays for others. She glories in the Lord and so thankful that he has brought the truth her way. She knows it's all by grace, and all she can do is be a vessel that pours out his word of grace. She's gentle to all men. She's apt to teach. She's patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, which are taken captive at his will. He has placed in her heart, that is 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, if you're writing those down. He has placed in her heart a desire to see all saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. She desires and is bold to proclaim to others that there is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that he's calling out a people for his name's sake. 2 Corinthians 11:2 through 3, for I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means the serpent, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Mm-hmm. Okay, 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in a time to come. There is strength and honor that she is clothed with, but it's his strength, and it's his honor. His honor is her honor. His strength is her strength. In Psalms 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. He has caused this woman to be strong. He has caused her to be strong. He has enabled her to stand and withstand in times of trials. There's been many battles that this virtuous woman has encountered. Even those trials that have beaten her down. She's experienced others lifting their heel against her when it seems that she would be swallowed up in sorrow and grief by those that she so loved. Those that have walked away. Those that she shared sweet fellowship with the gospel. Through all those things, he has been her stay, and he has strengthened her to stand. He has enabled her to stand victorious because he is victory, and she has taken that victory that he offers so freely. She stands in victory. There is victory there, and we stand in that. She's found when she is afflicted, when she's weak, then she's strong. His strength was made perfect in her weakness. His grace enabled her to glory and rejoice in the times, the darkest times. He has enabled her to shout and praise and lift her arms above. He has even enabled her to rejoice in tribulations. Yes. He's enabled her to take pleasure in her infirmities.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 12, one of my most favorite chapters. Let's start with the first verse. It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I'll come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, and God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself will I not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I'll say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. She says, as a psalmist, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 59:17, unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense, the God of my mercy. Honor. Go back to.
Do you tell the, where the heart faileth and the strength of my heart? You didn't give that reference, did you?
No. I'm sorry, Lynn.
That's all right.
Okay. Strength and honor. Let's go to the word honor. This word honor is magnificence. That is an ornament or splendor, beauty, comeliness, excellency, glorious, glory, goodly, honor, majesty. Yes, this virtuous woman is full of these, because she has allowed the life of Christ in her to grow up and manifest these qualities. She's all of this because of Christ. This is what her Lord is, and it's Him that lives in her. Christ liveth in me. Proverbs 11:16, a gracious woman retaineth honor. She's gracious and humble before the Lord. Proverbs 18:12 says that honor is before humility. Or humility. Says honor is humility. She first has to humble herself under the mighty hand of God. And I say she has to humble herself under the mighty hand of God. It isn't God that humbles us. It's she has to humble. We've heard recently about those two goats on that ledge. One has to bow down for the other to walk over. She has that quality. She knows she's nothing without Him. It's only by His grace and His grace alone that enables her to be this vessel of honor. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. 2 Timothy 2:20-21. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. She's clothed with strength and honor. For she's put on the clothing of the new creation, and she walks in it. Those new garments of the new creation is in Colossians 3:12-14. It says, holy, it's put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. The virtuous woman has put these on, not just for a day, but they're her everyday clothing. There is strength and honor in these garments. There is strength and honor in the garment, the wedding garment, which are the righteous acts of the saints. Remember, she's arrayed in clean, in a fine linen, clean and white. Last part of that verse, she will rejoice in time to come. By faith, she looks forward to a time that is soon coming, when she will see Jesus face to face. Her reward will come in due time. He will exalt her. The one that she is pleased and satisfied to the fullest is coming after her. She looketh forth to the morning, and that day is soon approaching when she'll be wed to the greatest man ever known. For it could be any minute, and she knows it. She lives as his ready wife now. She lives that life now. For her to live as Christ again. I can't emphasize that enough. Her face and her heart are full of joy with great expectation now. There's a joy bubbling up in her. Just as a bride is beaming with a fervent glow to be with her soon husband, she loses sight of everything around her. She's not corrupted with the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. Her eyes are fixed upon him and his soon return. Day after day, she looks forward to hearing him say, "Rise up, my love, my fair one. It's time to come away with me." She hears him whisper in her ear, "My love, my precious one, I'm coming soon. I'm coming." She has joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 26, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness." She opens her mouth with wisdom. He has filled her with wisdom, for he has been made unto her wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Colossians 2:3 says, "In whom Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In Christ are hidden all these. And guess what? Christ is in her. She is full. Praise you, Jesus. She took the words of wisdom by taking in the word of God, the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make her wise. James 3:17, "But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy." Let's turn to Proverbs 4:5-9. "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, that is wisdom, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, she shall promote thee, she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her." And on throughout Proverbs is about wisdom. God has given her the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In Proverbs 24:14, "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be into thy soul. When thou hast found it, then shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." See, she knows she's without excuse not to have wisdom. It's available to her. For she has heard him say, "If you lack wisdom, ask of me. I give it to you liberally, and I won't hold it back. Whatever you need, I will give it to you." So there is no excuse. It's available all the time. She also asks him, "Keep a watch over my mouth and my lips. Let it speak praise and worship to you, and not anything else, but let it speak pleasing words, those that edify others." This is what made her the virtuous woman that she is, for her mouth and tongue are full of wisdom. She heedeth his admonishment to be swift to hear and slow to speak. In Proverbs 15:2, "The tongue of the wise use knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness." James 3 speaks a great deal about the tongue, and I thought of going through that, but I trust that the Lord will lead you to read that. We, praise the Lord, will have that if he should tarry, since we're in James on Wednesday nights. We'll be getting to that chapter, but it's profitable to read that and heed the instructions. her speech ministers grace to the hearers. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:29-31. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. This woman speaks with wisdom and kindness is an attitude of the spirit of divine grace and love. The love that the Lord has put in her, that love suffereth long. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, it suffereth long, it's kind, it envies not, love vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up. The virtuous woman is very kind to others and tender-hearted. She has on the clothing of kindness. What a gracious woman she is. She's filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Her speech is comely, always with grace and with salt. Song of Solomon 4:11. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. To sum this all up, this full overcomer that she is filled with the love of God, and therefore all that she speaks will be full of love, wisdom, kindness, always endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 27 of Proverbs 31 says, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. She observes, she gives attention to the ways of her household. The word ways is amazing. It means the walk, the doings. She looketh well to her household's walk and doings. She, in her own household, is aware. She has eyes of discernment. The Lord has given her eyes of discernment, those dove's eyes. She can clearly see and observe the ways of those in her household or family. She admonishes and she instructs them in the Lord with love that will enable them to walk pleasing. In Ephesians 5:1-2, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. She's concerned with those in her household, as well as the household of God. But she knows she can trust the Lord for their walk. She lifts them up in prayer. Whether the Lord moves her to speak or to be quiet, she ceases not to pray for them. 1 Samuel 12:23-24. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I'll teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. We spoke about Moses and lifting his hands up to the Lord and praying for Israel. We spoke about that last week and how they prevailed over their enemy as Moses' arms were lifted up to the Lord. She fights for those on her knees. She fights the good fight of faith. than in Deuteronomy 6. I think Lynn quoted this in her testimony the other night, and this is precious. Deuteronomy 6:6 through 9. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. She's diligent, and she will always stand for what is right, that the word of God in her life is not compromised. She says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. She always points those to Christ, the word of his grace that will build them up and give them an inheritance. She realizes that they'll have to make their own choices, and only by faith will they be able to stand. In 2 Corinthians 1:24, Paul says this, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but we're helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Paul also said it this way in Philippians, when given a choice to stay or to be with the Lord, he said, to abide in the flesh is more needful and necessary for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance and the joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. She may or she may not be able to give her household the best of material goods, but she offers and gives them what is of great value, a treasure, an inheritance that endures forever, that fades not away, reserved in heaven. She knows that it's the word of God that's profitable. In Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Without a question, they know what she stands for and who she stands for. She eateth not the bread of idleness. She redeems her time, and she lends not to the things that are unprofitable, but she feeds on the true bread, the word of God, that works effectually in her. This virtuous woman is not idle at all, but she's doing the will of her Lord, always looking to him and trusting him to order and direct her steps. There's an outward working of the inward word that she has received as she has sat at his feet and learned of him. No, she's not idle, for her heart is full of love for him and is occupied with the righteous acts that he has foreordained for her to walk in them. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. She knows there's an enemy out there that wants to steal, to kill, and destroy. And she's not ignorant of Satan's devices. She's occupied with all that the Lord orders for her and is an example to all. In 1 Timothy 4:12, 13, be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. She meditates on these things and she gives herself wholly to them, that her profiting may appear to all. She's occupied with winning Christ. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Her children in her household, as well as the household of God, will rise up and call her blessed. They take notice of who this virtuous woman is. For she is a testimony to others of Christ and his life. She doesn't murmur and complain and speak of her woes and all her difficulties. She doesn't point to self. It's not about her. It's about Christ. She speaks of how blessed she is because of him. She shines with the glory of God and speaks his words of life, his words of love. It's so evident to others that he has transformed her from glory to glory. She abides now as his wife. Song of Solomon 6:8-9. There are 70 queens, 80 concubines, and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bears her. The daughter saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, they praised her. They called her blessed, and she is. She's been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And she's laid hold of all those blessings. She's possessed them. She said, these spiritual blessings are mine. She walks in them. And in doing that, she's a blessing to others. Others say, you're blessed. Oh, yes, she says, I am blessed. I've been blessed with everything that's in Christ. There's joy written all over her. She's not looking at the things around her or the circumstances. She has prayed, Lord, fix my eyes upon
yes.
you.
Yes.
Let me magnify
yes.
you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Christ's life has grown and matured in her in such a way that others can't help but see it's displayed as she walks, as she talks, as she even sits there in silence. It's apparent to all, even if she doesn't say a word, who she loves. The other daughters in the Song of Solomon call her, O thou fairest among women. Again, it's his glory, it's his light, and it cannot be hidden. She's his workmanship, and all glorious within by the effectual working of the word of his grace. It is said in Psalms 45:13, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She's a cherubim, a beaten work of gold. Her husband praises her. Jesus is her coming bridegroom, her husband. In Song of Solomon, if you read through that, he gives full descriptions of her. He boasts in her. She's ravished his heart. She is his love. He says, I'm overcome by one of your eyes. She is but one, and no one can compare to her. In Song of Solomon, chapter 4, 9-11, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices? Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of the garments is like the smell of Lebanon. She glories in him, and he glories in her, and commends her to all. In Song of Solomon, in Psalms 45:11, so shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. She is his only one. She satisfies him to the fullness. He calls her his dove, my love, my fair one, my undefiled, my choice one, my spouse. Yes, he praises her. That day is soon approaching when he will put her on display for all to see whom he so loved.